So it is.
It is!
The 7 o'clock hour of the Alex Dono Show. Now, tonight, this is the final hour. Only on until 8 tonight, because we have Thursday Night Football coming up on this radio station. Make sure you set your fantasy football lineups accordingly. Tomorrow, we will be on 6 to 10. Funny, man, I have trouble gauging the temperature of the audience sometimes. You know, when I mentioned at the end of the Omar interview, we're going to shift gears and talk Canes coming back. Man, who gives a rat's ass about the Canes, a texter wrote. A lot of times the opposite happens, Tito. When I'm talking Dolphins, people will say, hey, please talk some Canes. Who gives a rat's ass about the Dolphins? So I don't know what people give rat's asses about at this point.
I feel like it's just every team that breaks our heart is the one we just can't talk about. So let's talk about Inter Miami. They haven't broken anybody's hearts yet.
2020, it's coming down. I mean, everyone thinks, oh, Messi's going to come here right away. Ronaldo's coming here right away. I mean, Ronaldo, I'm trying to think of a word I can use to describe him without cursing. I'm not a fan of his, in case you were wondering. He's a great player, but I'm not a fan. And he happens to play for Juventus, who I hate more than anyone. He did just sign a 4-year contract with Juve. So if they're thinking of, like, selling him to Inter Miami, they're going to look for a pretty hefty transfer fee. When that comes up in a year and a half from now, whatever.
That's all semantics, Dono. He's coming. He's coming here right away.
I don't want him here. All right, let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood, the great hotline, and joining us a very great man. Tom DeAngelo covers the Miami Hurricanes for the Palm Beach Post. Tom, how you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great. You know, it's funny. I was listening to that, and I was reading Dave Hyde's column today or yesterday, and it is a rough time to be a sports fan in Miami. Isn't
it? It really is.
The only thing worse, I'll tell you, there is one thing worse though. You could be a sports fan of the New York teams.
Yeah, and they've got like two teams in every sport, and all of them suck.
Brutal. Yeah. They got 8 teams. Ooh. 7 of them finished last or next to last in the last year in their division. And I think the two that finished next to last, the only reason they weren't last is because they were New York teams or last.
Wow.
Another team, you know, I think like the Nets and the Knicks and the Rangers and the Islanders were last and next to last in the division. The Jets, the Giants, and of course the Mets. And then the one team they have, the Yankees, get blown out by their arch rival with the want to win the World Series. It's not a good, it's not a good time. It's a pretty rough time to be a sports fan in New York.
But let's talk about you. You're a native Bostonian. Are you a Red Sox fan? Or are you on cloud 9 still?
I'll tell you, I still have an allegiance to all the, you know, I grew up there. I lived there the first 20 years of my life, and I obviously was into sports my whole life, so I was a Boston sports fan. And it's unbelievable when you think how spoiled Boston sports fans are. When, you know, I remember going from 1986 to 2004, there was nothing. There wasn't a sniff of a championship. I think the Bruins might have been to a Stanley Cup final in that period. The Red Sox won from 86 on, and 86 the Celtics won. The Celtics didn't get back there. No, nobody was even really close. So everybody goes through their droughts. Right? You know, this is all cyclical, as we know. And then from 2004 till now, it is never before. I mean, this is, you know, it's yes, teams have had their run. New York, the Yankees win, 8 out of 10, maybe in the 40s or something, and teams win. But to have all four teams, nobody has ever had this kind of success where all four teams have contributed and won at least one title in this period where there's been 11 titles in 17 years. So it's pretty amazing. You keep seeing the picture of the kid who said he's 16 years old and he has a sign with all the titles that I've been to 11 parades.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. It's ridiculous. That kid doesn't know how good he has it. We're talking with Tom DeAngelo, joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Tom covers the Miami Hurricanes for the Palm Beach Post. So, Tom, if you talk to Hurricanes fans, they will say the play calling is pretty stale, unimaginative, ineffective. If you talk to Mark Richt and players, they will say, no, it's not the play calling. It's all on the execution. The execution has to be better. The plays are fine. Where do you stand on this debate?
The play calling is the way down on the list of things that need to be corrected at the University of Miami.
What's number one? Is it offensive line? Because that's where I'm at.
I think number one is, In whatever order, here's the biggest issues. Number one is the development and evaluation of the quarterback position. Not who's playing quarterback this week. Not who's starting. Not who started against Boston College. It's the development, and it's because this is what they have. It doesn't matter who's starting this week or who's starting next week. There's not that much. It's not like Tom Brady is sitting on the bench and he's starting Malik Roser. There's nobody on there. They don't have a quarterback that you feel confident that can lead, you know, that could lead a contending team. The problem is that these coaches, you know, Mark Richt has been there 3 years, and it's either the evaluation of the quarterbacks he signed, because obviously Nikosi Perry hasn't shown that he's going to be somebody that you have a lot of faith in the future. And if Jaren Williams is that guy, he would be playing. So either he's a slow developer or he has not developed. So are they evaluating these guys right? Are they signing the right guys? And apparently, you know, when I, you know, having just, you know, kind of jumped on and filling in this beat this year, I don't know much about this quarterback class of 18 coming out of high school, but I do know that they don't have anything on the horizon here that's going to, that looks like somebody who's going to be able to step in. So this could be, this is a serious issue here going forward also. So it's either the development or the evaluation of the quarterback. That's where I think you can criticize Mark Richt. And of course, the offensive line is another one. I mean, just those two are the main problems. To say play calling is insane. 2 years ago, was there an issue with the same plays that are being called that had, you know, I think I heard today that was it the third best offensive, the third best offense in the history of the University of Miami was Mark's first year and Kaya's last year, something like that.
Interesting.
Last year, the first 10 games, when there were players around Malik Roser, when he had a tight end, when he had Amon Richards, and he had, who's the kid the Patriots drafted?
Braxton Berrios. Yeah.
Braxton
Berrios. I miss him, by the way, man. I would love to see him back on this offense.
When you had those guys, play call was pretty good then, wasn't it? You know, it's the same plays. I went through the Boston College every first down. Through the fourth quarter, there was 11 runs and 11 passes. Now, they ended up with 17 and 12 or something like that because they had to throw the ball the last, you know, the last 8-10 minutes of the game to try to catch up. But it's the same call. And every one of them is absolutely right. When you don't have a quarterback who can play at a high level in Division 1A, and you don't have an offensive line, does not matter what play is going to be called, it's not going to work.
Now, Tom, I got to think that with Nikosi Perry specifically, there's got to be more to this story than strictly the way he played in Virginia. And let me go back, because before the Virginia game, he had been playing pretty well. It was clear at that time, this year, what we had seen was playing, for the most part, at a higher level than Malik Roser was. And in that Virginia game, he throws 6 passes, 2 interceptions, gets benched. We haven't seen the young man since. But I look at Nikosi Perry. I try to fill in the blanks here, Tom. And yes, he did look lost in those 6 passes he threw in the Virginia game. But I also see a guy who was suspended for the first game of the year, clearly for some form of immaturity. And I see a guy that after he got benched, the next we see him is on social media holding, you know, what appeared to be about $15,000 cash for a college kid. That raises a lot of unfair questions for the program. So I've got to think that the issues with Nikosi Perry probably have more to do than just strictly on the field stuff, right?
Well, number one, yeah, they weren't happy with that, and there is some form of discipline, punishment, whatever you want to call it, going on. But I don't think. Let me get two points on that. Number one, I didn't see these great performances against Florida State and North Carolina that most people see.
Okay.
You know, against North Carolina in the second half, I saw a half a performance in both Florida State in the first half. They were not good. And he was not good. And the second half, how good was he? He made Florida State game, he made 3 really good passes. That was it. And the defense won them that game. And those 2 turnovers don't happen, they don't win. And then he made the great pass to Jeff Thomas down the middle, the great pass to Brevin Jordan for the touchdown. You know, so I give him credit for that. But those weren't like, well, knock your socks off, great performances. North Carolina State, I think the second half, he threw 2 passes. 1 was intercepted. So, you know, they built the lead and they just milked it in the second half. So that's why I wasn't surprised. I think coming out of the Virginia game, and then when you go next week and you go to Virginia, what he saw in the first 20 minutes of that game with the 2 interceptions on the 6 passes, I think that was strictly on, hey, this is what we saw, there's two games. And then what I saw this first quarter was not good. He was a deer in the headlights that first quarter in his first game on the road. So that's that point. Now what happened since then, I agree there's some kind of discipline going on. If he was suspended, he would not be at Boston College in uniform. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. He's not suspended. So
I think he's in the doghouse. Like, I don't think he's suspended, but I think he's in the doghouse.
But I think he's in the doghouse. But if Malik Rosier gets hurt or throws three interceptions on his first, you know, in the first three passes, he would have used him against Boston College if he needed him.
Yeah.
So I think if nothing happened, I think if there was never a video, I don't think anything would have been different for us last Friday night. Rosier's still starting. And he's going to play that game. He's going to play probably the entire game. There was no reason really to pull him out. It was all kinds of issues there. Mainly for the first time, we could point fingers to the defense, but they fixed that up pretty quick to allow them to run off 41 plays in the first three series is astounding. Remember Miami had one game where they ran 46 plays the entire game. BC ran 41 plays in the first 19 minutes of that game. So, you know, but like Vinny Diaz said yesterday, and I'm not pointing fingers, that defense is a great defense. That defense is a national championship type defense. You know, for Hurricane fans can lament that they're basically wasting this defense, which they are, and they're not going to see it again because they're going to lose a lot of that defense. So I don't know. I don't think, let's put it this way, I don't think the discipline or punishment or whatever is affecting playing time. I think it would have gone, we would have seen the same thing whether we didn't see that video or not. That's just my feeling. Else why bring him to Boston College if you're going to have him standing on the sidelines? If you're saying you're suspended unless we need you, then it's not a suspension. You know, then it's a joke. If we're punishing you, we're not playing you. Unless we need you, then we'll play you. Well, I'm not saying that, but if that's the case, that's a joke. That's why I don't think they're doing it that way.
Your thoughts on the Duke game, Tom? They gave up a ton of points against Pitt. You know, obviously Miami is in a bad way right now. Some may call it a crisis. I'm not. I think I have to see what happens Saturday before I call it a crisis. But the Canes have been better at home.
It's a crisis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what are you expecting? Do you think the Canes will bounce back and win at home on Saturday?
I think they have to win this game. I think they do. Duke is a very good offense. They had over 600 yards last week. Last game they played, they had 600 yards. So they can score. They have a good quarterback. I think you're going to see I think it's going to be a strange night, Dono. I think, you know, Malik Rozier is going to run on the field and there's going to be booing for however many fans show up, number one.
Yeah.
There could be a banner. I don't know. Somebody could fly a banner, you know, and then – But
What do you think the banner would say? Like a serious question, because I don't feel like there's a whole lot of movement behind like a fire Mark Richt, but maybe the banner would say. I think the banner might say hire an OC if there is a banner.
Or I think Mark Richt's taking a lot of the heat, and there's a huge factor. We see it on social media that think he should go. That's let me say right now that is ridiculous.
That is
insane. This is a year ago right now, they were throwing a parade for Mark Richt because they were 10-0 at this point, or a year ago, they might've been 9-0 before they were hitting 10-0. And then, you know, it was in the playoff and a year ago, they were in the top four in the first, four rankings of the playoff committee. So they were 10-0 right up until Thanksgiving last year. So that's insane. Now, if you want to talk to me, going into 2019 and after, 2020 and 2019, they win six games and they don't have another quarterback ready to come in. Then you can start saying, we got to do something real fast here. You got to find a way to compete here in the next year, or else you could be in trouble. But right now, that's ridiculous. But they could. I would not be shocked if they were to play a month. People are nuts. People are crazy. People get money going. That people find disgruntled. You know, rich boosters who think they know more football than a coach. They think, think they know more about running a university than a president, and then they can do anything. And then the thing that I figure for sure is going to happen is there's going to be boos when Rozier goes out and walks onto the field, and I feel bad for the guy.
Me too.
We know exactly what he is. He's a great kid. He, you know, for the first 10 games last year, okay, they didn't play well the last three games. They still ended up 10-3, went to a major bowl for the first time since 04. Won double-digit games for the first time since 04. Played in the ACC title game for the first time ever. But they want the, the anger toward this kid is really startling, and it's actually it's scary and it's sad and it's
yeah, I've seen a lot of that, Tom. Like when I was in school, I went to school with both Brock Berlin, who took a lot of that. I mean, Miami in 2003 when he took over for Dorsey, they only lost two games that year. They ended up winning 11 games, including the Orange Bowl against Florida State, but they had a couple of bad losses right in the middle of the year, and it's very hard to follow Dorsey. It's very hard to follow that act. I can remember Brock Berlin getting booed on the field and getting heckled on campus when I saw him on campus. And I also went to school with Kyle Wright, who may have deserved some of the boos that he was getting, but this was a number one recruit out of high school who, you know, did not succeed at Miami for a number of reasons. A lot of those were his fault. A lot of those weren't because he had bad coaching and a lot of different offensive coordinators. He took a major beating from the fan base. So I've seen it, and I've never thought that's a fair way to treat college kids, college players.
And it isn't exclusive to Miami. Look, I've covered Florida State for many years, and I covered them through the wide rights. And those poor kickers,
what
they went through, you know.
Well, I agree with that, Tom, because these guys have one job to do. If you can't make that game winning kick, you deserve it. No, I'm just kidding.
So, you know, it's not. It's everywhere, and it's just it's just right now. It's not a great situation. Are the wheels coming off? No, but you know, you finish out 2-2, then there's going to be a lot of questions and wind up going to, you know, I don't know, Charlotte for a bowl game and say losing that.
Ooh.
I'll tell you what, it's going to be ugly. I mean, you know, even losing one more game, you know, the chances there are, they need a miracle we've already taken a step back from last year. Need a miracle just to get to the ACC title game. That's just not going to happen. I don't see them running the table. I mean, at the very best, I see 3-1, probably losing at Virginia Tech. But man, we saw with Georgia Tech to Virginia Tech, they could lose at Georgia Tech too. So, I mean, who knows? But if they finish with a losing record in these next five games, including the bowl, or even if they go 3-2, it's going to be a lot of questions, and there's going to be a heat on Mark Richt coming. Unfortunately, that's the way this business is, and he will be one of those guys next summer that we're. You know, and who are the top five coaches on a hot seat, his name will be on there if they wind up losing five or six games this year.
He's Tom DeAngelo, does fantastic work in the Palm Beach Post, and follow him on Twitter, TomDeAngelo44. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Donald. We'll see you Saturday.
I can't say he made me feel a lot better, but Tito, the soccer team I root for, Inter Milan, playing fantastic. 3-0 over Lazio on Monday. I think more people should hop on the Inter bandwagon. They dropped a 2-0 decision at the Camp Nou to Messi. And, well, actually, Messi didn't play, to Barcelona last week. So that was kind of rough. But in Serie A, they've been running things right now. Six straight wins.
And they're still in good position for Champions League, right?
Oh, yeah. They're second in the table right now in Italy. Behind only Juventus.
Who do they play next in Champions League?
They play Barcelona again, this time at home. On Tuesday. Yeah, so,
ooh.
Yeah. Big one coming up. The Alex Donov Show continues here on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
I think some Canes fans have just run out of ideas. Let me read you this text, Tito. Is Butch Davis being talked about if Rick leaves or is fired in the next 2 or 3 years? They're not circling back to Butch. Like, that ship completely sailed in 2016 when he was campaigning for the job. They didn't give it to him. They're not going to go back down the Butch rabbit hole for a third time. It's not going to happen. At this point, if Butch has any pride, he's not even taking that call after they passed on him last time around. Plus, I think Butch is and can continue to do really good things for FIU, I have to give him credit. I think that he definitely, he was the right man, is the right man for that job. But at this point, if my football program is the University of Miami, I'm talking about this from the perspective of the president, the athletic director, the aspirations that program has, do I want to go out and get a guy who to us is a retread and is going to be 67, 68 years old at that point? No, they've got to go in a different direction. I think at this point, if I am Butch Davis at this point, just as a matter of pride after getting passed on that second time, I probably have just gotten Miami out of my mind completely at this point.
Butch Davis is like the low-hanging fruit for UM fans.
Well, because UM fans, they feel like we could always get him. Like, he's always going to be there for the taking.
Just like, oh, man, anything's going wrong. Yeah. Just bring back old Butch. He'll save the day. You know, like, not to mention that the fact that his team had some serious struggles this year as well. Like, at some point, UM fans really need to get over the fact that even when Butch was at his highest point, he never even beat FSU. Like, let's point that out.
No, he beat FSU in 2000.
I thought he left before that.
No. The Dorsey to Shockey game, that was his final year.
Well, then he only beat them once, and Richt has beat them twice, so let's point that out.
Did he beat them another? No, he had to have beaten them another time at some point. He was there from, like, 94 to 2. No, he beat them more than that. 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Let's talk to Rick and Davey. What's up, Rick?
What's up, Alex? How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm all right. By the way, he was under probation, so tell your producer that maybe that's why he only beat them once. So let's not go there, okay? We were under probation, and he didn't have no scholarships.
Well, that's fine, but why I brought up Butch is Miami's not gonna call him up if it doesn't work out with Rick.
I hear you. I'm just trying to help your producer out there that, you know, we didn't have no scholarships, and that's the talent that he was able to amass with no scholarships.
Yeah, he was able to get Santana Moss in on a track scholarship. Like, he found a way to legally bend those rules.
All right, so Alex, there's three things I need to get off my chest, okay? Number one, the other night, for the guy who texted you, let me say this. It's been months since I've read a newspaper. Number two, I would never quote Greg Cody because I'm not a fan of Greg Cody. So whenever I call, and I've been calling radio shows for over 25 years in South Florida and even national shows.
Nice.
Okay? I speak from the heart and from what little brains I have. I don't quote anybody. I don't follow anybody, what anybody reads. I speak from what I have to say and things that I've memorized because God did give me a great memory. So let me just put that out there for that text that he texted you the other night. That's number one. Number two, for all talking heads out there, studio analysts, and all these people out there, let me give you a word of advice. This is coming from a guy who never took journalism classes, never went to college. You know, I'm just a retired mailman, and now I'm an Uber driver, okay? Open a dictionary or go to Wikipedia and look up the word destiny. And maybe then, you'll stop using the most overused and misused phrase in talk show or in studio analysts. So-and-so controls their own destiny. No, when you are destined, when the word destiny means you cannot change it. Now, you can say they control their own path to the playoffs, to the BCS, whatever, to the winning the division. You can say whatever, but do not say they control their own destiny. That doesn't exist.
Wow.
Exist, okay? So that's number two. And number three, I know that you're starting to hate this team. Maybe it's because of me or other people. Remember, I am a Canes fan, but my money does go to UCF. And again, before you jump down my throat, or anybody who's going to listen to me, I am not talking about talent, okay? I am strictly going on schedule because UCF gets a bad rap for their schedule. Has anybody looked up Alabama's non-conference schedule?
No, it's brutal, but their conference schedule is something that UCF cannot possibly equal. Alabama's conference schedule in the SEC West, that is where they become battle-tested.
Okay, the most overrated conference in sports other than the Big Ten is the SEC. The only current top 25 team that Alabama's beaten is Texas A&M. So please let's not go there about the tough SEC schedule. So
no, it's
all
tough.
These people in the committee that like to rip UCF and their schedule, Why don't you, again, I'm not basing it on talent. Obviously, Alabama's probably the most talented team out there.
Well, Rick, hold on 1 second, because I don't know if you caught the revelation that I made yesterday, and Tito can verify that I said this, and I mean it. I want UCF in the college football playoff this year. I want to see UCF get into the college football playoff. I would love it. I think they're going to go undefeated through their regular schedule. I want UCF in the college football playoff, and I say that because, first of all, it answers a very important what if, right? What if you take a team from a non-Power 5 that runs through a quote-unquote lesser schedule? What happens when you put them in with the elite of the elite around college football? I would love to see the answers to those questions. And furthermore, if UCF gets a date with Alabama in either the semifinal or the final, and they get beaten up by 40, 50 points, and there's no shame in that because Alabama does that to everyone. At least at that point, when you lose in that college football playoff, I'm not going to have these ridiculous crybaby Fantasyland UCF fans pretending they won a national championship. So, yes, put them in the tournament if they go undefeated, and then if they lose by 70 to Alabama, at least then they cannot claim to be a fraudulent national champion.
That's all as UCF fans we've ever ask for is give us a shot, and no, it's not a fraudulent national championship. But I'm not even going to go there.
Oh, well, that's another losing debate for you for another day.
So, but that's all we ask, and this is why, Alex, they need to expand to an 8 team. You have your Power 5 conferences, and you have 3 at-large bids, and that's why they.
And I agree with you, but I'm letting you go because I'm up against it. And I there's a couple calls I want to take when we come back, including our buddy Anthony in Long Island. But no, I really do want UCF to get into that college football playoff, get just smoked by Alabama. And then again, there's no shame in that, right? What would happen tomorrow if Alabama played Miami? You would never see my face again. I'd be so heartbroken. Like, Miami might lose that game by 100. So if UCF keeps it within 75 points, you can take that as a moral victory. But you get smoked by Alabama in that college football playoff, you can't claim to be a national champion. Because what happens if it goes the other way? If for a second straight year, UCF goes through their regular season and their conference championship, which would probably be against Houston, right? Houston's the next best team there. Mark D'Onofrio's defense, so they're going to win that game, right? They're going to beat Mark D'Onofrio's defense in the conference championship. So you go undefeated. What happens if they don't get to the college football playoff, right? If they win their bowl game, which would probably be against a good team, but not obviously not a playoff caliber team, they go undefeated again, never having faced Alabama, who is a world beater. Alabama, they are the Thanos of college football. They can make half the college football population disappear in the snap of a finger. If they avoid Alabama, go undefeated, even though Alabama, we all know, would have beaten them by 128 points, they're going to claim to be national champions for a second straight year. So absolutely, I want UCF in the college football playoff to answer that question. The Alex Donner Show concludes next during QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Check it out. Check it out. This here goes out to all the bad and other cribs.
I missed it on the TV, but Temple blocked a UCF kick.
Indeed.
That's huge. And Temple leads UCF 3-0. So if UCF loses to Temple, that settles the debate right there. How do you lose to Temple? Will they still claim a national title? If UCF loses to Temple but wins their conference and wins their bowl game, will UCF fans say, well, hey, we've seen national champions. Alabama, they had a loss last year. They won a championship. We've seen teams with one loss win a championship. We're still the national champs. They lose to Temple. You know you're going to hear that nonsense. Let's talk to Anthony in Long Island. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's up, brother? Long time no talk.
Not much, man. How you been?
I'm good, man. I gotta get this off my chest, man. What Armando did today, I think would be like, no, it would be no different than, say, QAM, right? QAM was at a radio convention, and they were to hold a press conference. And Len, who is the radio manager, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, our program director.
If he were to, at that press conference, be asked questions about, say, the performance of my two favorite shows, you know, the Alex Donald Show and the Hoffman and Crowder Show, give his answer, and then in response, someone make a statement. Like, as a reporter, literally, your job is to ask questions and then interpret and then develop your opinion and your perspective and write that in your column, mm-hmm. not make a statement and say otherwise. To me, that was just so unprofessional. And everything Armando said, I agree with, but that's just not the time and the place. Your job is to ask questions, period, not make statements. But last night, man, I wanted to get this in, and I tagged you guys for this on Twitter just for context purposes. When Gase made that decision about going to Osweiler, I remember calling you guys in the backyard and being like, oh my God, if that's what he decided, because as a quarterback evaluator, he has to assess and evaluate talent. And if you've actually determined that Brock Osweiler is better than David Fales, what does that say about your evaluation of Ryan Tannehill? Could you be wrong?
You know what, though? Let me say this. Based on what I've seen from Osweiler in these last few games, granted, I didn't think his training camp was very good, but I also think that David Fales missed some serious opportunities in preseason. Based on what I've seen from these spot starts here from Osweiler, I think Ace might have been right about that. Now, I'm not trying to completely undercut your point. Like, I'm not saying this guy is a great quarterback evaluator, but I think he might have actually been onto something here with Brock Osweiler being more equipped to run this offense than David Fales is. And you know, I'm a big David Fales fan, but Osweiler, who again, he's not Peyton Manning in his prime. He's not a world beater, but I think he's proven me a little bit wrong on the whole Fales debate.
He has, and I was the harshest critic of Brock Osweiler more than anyone else. But my point is that we know what we have in Ryan Tannehill and what we don't have, and it's the same thing with Brock Osweiler. I just don't understand how people could say that David Fales is this or that without ever starting an NFL game. You know, like, how do you know what you have in a guy? Think about how long we've been saying we don't know what we have in Ryan Tannehill. There's mm-hmm. still some people that say that they don't know what they have in Ryan Tannehill. So how could you say that and then also say, well, I know that David Fales stinks. Like, I know what we have in him. You know, why not see a change? That's my only point, guys. Much love. I appreciate you having me on.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Always. Quick question for you, Tito. Have you ever eaten a muffin with a fork? I did that earlier today, and it felt glorious. I didn't get anything on my hands, right? My hands weren't clean before I ate the muffin, which is why I decided to use a fork. And like, I felt more sophisticated. I had more self-esteem than I've had in weeks. And then I didn't have to wash my hands after eating the muffin. I just had to put the fork in the sink. It was glorious.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's a little strange, considering it's more of a handheld food in general.
I thought it was great. Let's talk to Gordo. You're on QAM. What's up, Gordo?
What's happening? I'm all over the place. There's so many things to talk about.
There is, man. I'm glad to talk to you.
All right, but just real quickly, this guy with the University of Central Florida, let me just tell you something about University of Central Florida. It's the board of trustees and the top people in that university that you can blame as to why they're not where they are. There are over 66,183 students in the undergraduate program at the University of Central Florida. I'm online looking at it right now.
Oh, nice.
They have a medical school, okay? They are one of the largest student bodies in the United States.
Yes.
They need to get themselves into a big-time conference.
They do.
Period, the end.
They do.
That's it. So this guy who calls up, say, they should have, you know what? It's the people that are running the institution that need to apply to the SEC or the ACC and get themselves into a conference, because that's where it's going. Unless you're Notre Dame, don't talk to me, and I don't want to have a conversation more about the University of Central Florida. It's a useless and worthless conversation.
I'm with you.
There's no point. I'm tired of it. I don't want to hear about it anymore. They're not going to get in. That's not the way it works.
Ooh, did they just score a touchdown? I'm hoping they lose to Temple, but I think they just scored a touchdown.
No, I don't want to hear about him anymore. It's worthless.
Well, they up until 30 seconds ago, they were losing 3-0 to Temple, so that was fun.
I just officially ended the conversation on QAM about the University of Central Florida. It's enough.
What else is on your mind?
UCF Knights!
Wayne Ellington, what is going on? I don't understand it.
I asked Ira. He couldn't answer.
But what's the problem? Is this like a Nkosi Berry thing? We're never going to know what happened. All they did was try to keep this guy. Remember he was the guy with the golden arm, right? That, yeah. Like Eric Reed said. I mean, what? I don't understand. Why Tyler Johnson over Wayne Ellington?
Maybe because they feel that Tyler Johnson is more multifaceted and not just a three guy. That was the only thing Ira could say about it.
I understand. You throw it down to Whiteside. What happened? I just don't get it. Maybe they're shopping this guy. They're trying to showcase him and then you get him out of here. That would be the only reason to have that guy on the court. It's so frustrating to watch that guy play. He stinks.
I can't argue that at all.
I mean, I just don't get it. This is a three-point shooting league.
It is.
He is our best three-point shooter. He's arguably one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA. He happens to be on our team. He's not playing.
I mean, the biggest thing that grinds my gears right now about Heat basketball is, like, they're stuck in 1992 when everyone else is in 2018.
We have so many guys shooting three-pointers with no business shooting threes. Ill-advised threes, too. I don't know how many times I yell at the TV or when I'm at the games, go to the basket. Only good things happen when you go to the basket.
I would love to watch one game. I would love to watch one game with Gordo just to hear you yelling at the TV.
You should come with me.
I should.
I have season tickets. Let's go.
Let's do it. You know what? Hey, if you can spare one of your tickets for me,
yeah,
obviously it's obviously it can't be a night when I'm working. But if there's like listen though, like we're talking a weekend game, or there's sometimes on like Tuesday nights I don't work when there's Hurricane Hotline.
All right, we'll figure it out.
We'll make it happen.
And then this Dolphin thing. I mean, you know, I was listening to Gase and Armando was, you know, he was all about about results, you know. And you know, it's about results. Well, let me tell you something about results. If Adam, you tell Adam Gase about results, about missing the playoffs again, and if he keeps missing the playoffs, the results are what matters. I don't care about – he can't go to Stephen Ross at the end of the year and say, well, you know, Tannehill did a better job doing this and doing – or I should say, what did Orlando Allisgary call it? Tannehill.
Right? Yeah. Tannehill. Hey, listen, I got to let you run because I got to hit a hard out for Thursday Night Football in a few seconds here.
I'll DM you about
that
game, okay?
I would love that.
I'm serious.
And I hope you don't mind if I take some videos for social media because we got to get this on film.
Not a problem.
I love that. See, I would love to go to a Heat game with Gordo. Just him yelling at the team to me. Wouldn't that be fun, Tito?
Yeah.
30 minutes in, I'm going to be like, why did I do this? What am I doing here? Thursday Night Football is coming up. You got the Oakland Raiders at the San Francisco 49ers. The battle for the Bay Area right here on WQAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.